This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. This word is amazing. You know, Steve said something to me when I was giving him some of the extra scriptures that came to me last night that I wanted to insert into everything. And there's a lot of scripture that we're going to go through this morning. And he said, wow, it's more like a Bible study. And I said, you know what? 2 Timothy 3:16, and I wanted to look it up so I get it right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. If I'm not giving you the word of God, there's no reason for me to stand up here. This is training. This is training in righteousness. And, you know, earlier this month, we talked about the force of righteousness. This is training in the blessing of God. Today, we're going to go through why we're blessed, the importance of the blessing, the permanence of the blessing, what the blessing is. We know it's not a thing. And how we activate the blessing. Those are the things we're going to go over this morning. And this blessing can be a force in your life for good. That's what God intended it to be. That's what he wants for us, is to walk in blessing. Why are we blessed? Genesis 12:2. Let's start right at the very beginning. God was talking to Abraham, and God was telling Abraham, I want you blessed. Now, the reason God chose Abraham out of anybody else on the planet at that time, the Bible tells us that Abraham would teach his children. So God didn't want this to die off after one generation. Like some of the kings of Israel. God, can y'all hear me? Yeah. Okay, I'm just not hearing myself real good. God had kings in Israel because they wanted them. And you'd have a good king. And the country would prosper. And he would lead the people in obeying the law. And then you'd have a bad king. And everything go bad. God chose Abraham because he was going to teach his children. That was the important thing there. And what did he tell him? He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Why is God blessing us? So that we can be a blessing. Amen. So, what's my favorite saying, right? So that we can be a walking billboard for the goodness of God in the earth. Because what's going to draw people to God? A bunch of you filthy sinner condemnation? No, they get enough of that from the world. What draws people? Money, power. That's really what draws people. Health. If we're walking in the blessing, these things are going to start manifesting in our lives, and it's going to draw people to God. Second, let's turn to Deuteronomy 8:18. We have a covenant. Here, he was talking about the covenant that he was setting up with the children of Israel, that if they would do everything the right way, follow his law, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Why? Why are we blessed? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You are blessed so that God can establish his covenant, his contract, his testament in this earth. And you know what? God loves it when you're doing well. How many of you parents like it when you see your children succeeding? Does it bless you to see your children succeeding? Does it make you feel good? Does it give you pleasure to see your children succeeding? My number two daughter is pregnant, and she's due in March. Her husband just got a job. He used to work over half an hour away. He just got a job four or five blocks away, an increase in money. He's working for the hospital. So now when she has the baby, almost everything is, you know, it's going to cost them very, very little. And he's going to be very close to home. Okay. I'm excited. It's not even my son. It's my son-in-law. But I'm excited. It gives me pleasure. I'm pleased. So what does it say here? Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Why are you blessed? It gives God pleasure to see you walking in the blessing. Amen. The reason I say the blessing is there is a specific blessing. It is the favor of God spoken over you. That is the blessing. Amen. Now, what's the importance of the blessing? Look at Genesis 27, verse 5. Abraham's getting old. He's telling Esau, his oldest, go hunt some venison, make the stew that I like, and I'm going to bless you. This was the blood. Now, he was premature on this. He wasn't ready to die. He lived another, I think it was 10 or 15 years after this. But he was going to give his blessing. He wanted to make sure he got that blessing to Esau before he died. Rebekah preferred Isaac. And the Bible says the older will serve the younger, which wasn't supposed to happen. So what does Rebekah do? Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt the game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make that savory stew food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two of the choice kids of the flock of the goats, and I will make a savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. She's trying to get Jacob to steal Esau's blessing. This is the importance. We don't put a lot of importance in a blessing in the Western culture. But this was so important to her that she is getting ready to steal it for Jacob from Esau. Did it stop there or did we go on? I can't remember how long. That's where it stops. Okay. So Rebecca's willing to steal it. So here's what happens. Jacob's like, I'm smooth skin. He's hairy. You know, I know Dad can't see, but he's going to feel me and he's going to know it's not me. It's not Esau, it's me. And she goes, no, I'm going to put Now think about this for a minute. I'm going to put the skin of the kid, the goat, on your arm. So he'll think, it's how hairy was this guy that the skin of a goat felt like him? And it worked. He said, the voice is Jacob's, but the skin is Esau's. She told she told Jacob, go, I'll get some of his clothes and I'll put his clothes on you so that you'll smell like him. He must have been ripe. That his clothes, you know, carried a certain smell. And she put the skin on the back of his neck and on his arms. So he, okay. When Esau came and brought the food to Isaac, Isaac said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. Jacob, your brother, came and stole your blessing. Esau wailed. He wept. Jacob ran away. Esau came after him. That is how important they felt the blessing was. And did Jacob need to steal the blessing? No, he got in the next chapter. Sleeping with a rock for a pillow in the middle of the night, God gave him the blessing. He didn't need to steal it. But that's how important they looked on the blessing. We need to adopt some of that attitude toward the blessing of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God allows. That word suffer can also mean allow, not just endure. We need to get violent about our faith and not give the devil opportunity. We need to say, shut up, devil. The blessing is mine. I don't care what my checkbook says. I don't care what my employer says. I don't care what the economy says. I don't care what war says. I am blessed. I have an abundance. What did John give us this morning? I have an abundance for every good work.
That's right.
I can give to the poor. I can shed it abroad. The righteous man, the righteous gives. He's, what did I say last week? I think it was. One who scatters abroad yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due and it tends toward poverty. It's opposite. God does his things his way. Man, it's so important to get our minds right and ready to do what God wants us to do. Let's look at the permanence of a blessing. Numbers 23, 18 through 21. I'm going to explain this a little bit. It says, then he took up the oracle and said, rise up, Balak. This is Balaam. This is the second time that Balaam is blessing the children of Israel. Now what? Let's go back and set up the whole thing, right? So the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. And they're coming across Balak's land, the Moabites. And Balak wants to defeat the Israelites, but he's afraid of them. He's heard about what happened at the Red Sea. He's heard about the victories that they've had. And he says to Balak, Balak says to Balaam, come and curse these people. Perhaps I'll be able to beat them. Okay, how many would go to somebody and say, I want you to curse these people? Man, this guy had a reputation for what he said coming to pass. And Balak comes up to Balaam, and he actually sent a bunch of people to Balaam, and he said, hey, I want you to come curse this people for me. He says, well, hang on. You can spend the night at my house. I'm going to go ask God what he wants me to do. In the middle of the night, God comes to him. He says, who are these men? He says, well, these are princes from Balak, son of Zippor. And he wants me to curse these Israelites. And God says, no, no, no. You will not curse them, for they're blessed. They are blessed. And so he says, sorry, guys, can't go with you. And we think of Balaam as a bad guy, and we'll see why here in a little bit. But everything he did right there, he was obeying God. He knew that his words had power, and he was not going to curse God's people. So they went back, they told Balak, they said, oh, he won't do it. He kicked us out. He won't touch him. And so Balak said, all right, I'll send more princes of a higher position, more and more honorable. He gave him more money. He offered him money. Balak wanted that money. And he sent them. Now, here's the first mistake. Balaam says, well, I just sit tight. Let me pray about it tonight again, and I'll talk to you in the morning. Okay, God's not going to change his mind. You don't need to go ask a second time. And God says, all right, if the men rise up and call for you in the morning, you can go with them, but you're going to bless them. You're not going to curse these people. In the next verse it says, and Balaam rose up early and saddled his donkey. Okay? He didn't wait to see if they came to get him. He wanted that reward. He got up and woke them up and said, all right, guys, let's go. And then, you know, Balaam's donkey talked to him. He talked back to his donkey. And he realized, okay, I'm only going to say, because, you know, he met that angel, and he said, I'm only going to say what God says. So they got up there, they sacrificed, he blessed them. And Balak, the Bible says, Balak smote his hands together. He said, I told you to curse these people, and you're blessing them. So he goes back a second time. They go to a different place. Well, there's too many of them. You see too many. We'll go look at a different place where you only see a portion of them. And they sacrificed again, and he went to God again, and he came back. And look at this. Then he took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God has spoken a blessing over you, and he's not going to go back on his word. He's not going to change it. You are blessed. Behold, I have received a command to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You cannot reverse the blessing of God. It's on you forever. It is yours. It is yours to use if you choose to use it. God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to stop loving you. He's not going to stop holding the blessing out to you. It is yours. Look at verse 21. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Okay. Was Abraham a good guy? Did he do everything God wanted him to do? He tried to give his wife away twice. Because he was afraid somebody was going to kill him. He was not. That's a scandal. If I tried to give my wife away, guarantee it would be a scandal. I'd also be one of the stupidest men on the planet. But, you know, God doesn't look at your sin. With us, he looks at the blood of Jesus. He sees you perfect in your spirit. He looks at the blood of Jesus. He doesn't observe iniquity in you. He does not see wickedness in you. You're blessed because of what Jesus did for you. Amen. And the shout of a king is among them. He goes on to prophesy about the coming Messiah. This is a powerful, if you read all three of the blessings, these are powerful blessings. And he prophesies about the coming of Jesus. It's amazing. But you know what? Take the time sometime to read this whole story. This is powerful and it is permanent. The blessing is there. It is not going to change. That is the permanence of the blessing. It's never going to change. It is forever. It is for your generation. It's for the generation before you. It's for the generations after you. It was for my parents. It was for my grandparents. It's for me. It's for my children. It's for my grandson.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And all the other grandchildren I have, because I know more are coming.
Oh, yes.
Garrett. Garrett and Susan want to have a lot. What is the blessing? We talked about it, the favor of God spoken over you. The blessing is activated by your confession. It's the favor of God. Let's go to Romans 10, verse 9. This, I've used this a lot as I've taught over the years, especially to the little kids. This is a salvation prayer right here. This is it. If you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. There's your salvation right there. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's the important? Let's look at this. What comes first? Believing. You need to believe what you're saying. Now, I've confessed things a million times that I never saw happen, but you know what? I was confessing them, trying to get myself to believe them. And that doesn't, it's not a bad thing to be talking yourself into it, because sometimes we need to do that. But the important part is that you believe what you're saying. Amen. I've never heard anybody say, it scared me to death. Yeah. I laughed myself to death. Mm-hmm. It thrilled me to death. Yes. Why didn't it kill you? Because you didn't believe the words you were saying. Right. You know, it's important to believe and then confess. Make sure that you are digging in this word, you're getting the promises in God's word, you're putting them into your heart, and you're believing what God says more than you're believing what you see with your eyes, more than what you're believing what you hear at 5, 6, and 10 o'clock on the news. Amen. I do not watch the news. I get my news from Tom on Sunday morning, because he usually says something about, you know, the war in Israel or what's going on. And I go through airports, so I see a lot of stuff all the time. But I just don't pay a lot of attention to it. The Word of God is my news.
Amen. That's right.
That's what's going on in my life. I'm going to dig into this Word. I'm going to find out how blessed I am, and I'm going to walk in that blessing. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still working on it. There's still things I need in my life, but I'm headed that direction. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes. It's important that it gets into your heart. You can't confess yourself into faith. You've got to make up your mind to believe what God's word says.
Amen.
Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. This is the big part of the blessing. Now, there's 14 verses of blessing here, and there's 20 some odd, or maybe it's more than that, verses of cursing. Do your math. There's a lot more curses than there are blessings. But we're going to see it's important for us to realize what that curse is because we've been redeemed from it. So let's look at the blessing real quick. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. The blessing of God is overtaking you. Amen. It's coming on you. It's overtaking you. Amen. It's chasing you down. When we sing that song, "Your goodness is running after me," this is what I think of. The goodness of God is running. It's running after me. It's overtaking me. This is what it makes me think of. Did I miss something there? Did we skip a screen? No. Shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Keep going. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Okay. When are we not coming in and when are we not going out? We go in and out of doors all day. Every time you walk through a doorway, just think, I'm blessed.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. You need to have a savings account. Okay? In your storehouses, we should have multiple. I have some multiple investments. Of course, with what's going on in the world, they're not doing real well right now. That's all right. I'm blessed. It's going to turn around.
Amen.
They're going to increase. In your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. Everything you set your hand to is going to prosper. That was a promise he made to Joshua. That's part of the blessing. That's ours. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You should own land. If you're younger guys, you may not own land yet, but, you know, the American dream. One of these days, you're going to own some land. That land's going to be blessed. He's got a portion for you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You don't need to be afraid. So many times the Bible says, fear not, do not fear. You do not need to be afraid. They will be afraid of you.
Amen.
Okay? They will be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow.
Amen.
And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. So if we're perfect, if we do everything right, then we're blessed.
Amen.
No. Jesus did it all for us. Jesus did it all for us. The favor of God is on you. Now, I'm not going to go through all those curses. It's depressing. It's boring. But you know what? When you go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it doesn't need to be depressing. Because when you look at those curses, you got to realize that in Galatians chapter 3, praise God, I am redeemed from every sickness known and unknown to man. That's part of the curse.
Hallelujah.
listed in those curses is all these sicknesses that are going to come upon you. And then he finishes it off by saying, in every sickness not known to man, AIDS, COVID is under the curse. He covered it all. And what does Galatians 3:13 says? Christ, the anointed one, right? We've learned the word Christ is a Greek word that means anointing, and it's referring to the anointed one here. The anointed one has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became the curse for us. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus, in the anointing, in the anointed one. So if we were to go back and look at all those blessings, we could say, because Jesus has fulfilled the law for me, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I am redeemed from every sickness known and unknown to man because Jesus fulfilled the law on my behalf.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's the authority that you have to speak over your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
To say, COVID, you can't touch me.
Amen.
COVID, you can't hurt me. I've been through it. You know, early on, because I travel for work and you can't fly when you're sick. And I actually did get a fever for a few days. We had to test. They made us test every week. My test came back positive. I had a fever for a few days. I felt crappy for a day. And I don't remember coughing hardly at all. And that was it. COVID barely touched me. Why? Because I am blessed. And I know it. And I expect to be blessed.
Amen.
I'm not just talking it. I'm putting it in my mouth and in my heart and in my heart and in my mouth.
Amen.
And I'm speaking it out of my mouth.
Amen.
I am not going to let the devil get me. I'm not going to let sickness get me. I'm not going to let poverty get me because I am blessed.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm blessed to be a blessing. Sorry, getting a little excited about this, but praise God, this is good stuff. This is the way we should be living our lives. It only took me 61 years to get here. But you know what? You talk about my kids are doing better than me. I'm blessed to see my kids prospering. I'm blessed to see my kids speaking the word over their life.
Amen.
Praise God, they're making changes. There's people around them that they're affecting. My oldest, Catherine, that girl is full of the word. She turns on the Believer's Voice of Victory, not just what's that Kenneth Copeland channel, you know, the streaming channel. She streams it all the time. She is just constantly feeding on that word, constantly putting that word in. And, you know, life is going to squeeze you in like a toothpaste tube. Whatever's on the inside is what's coming out. And when life squeezes her, the word comes out. You know, I am so blessed to see that happening in my children. Psalm 91. Now, Tom spoke on Psalm 91. We're going to go through the whole chapter here this morning. But I want us to look at this. This is part of the blessing. This is what you are blessed with. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many of you like to be in shade on a hot day? When the devil's trying to burn you, you get in that shade. You get in the shadow of the Almighty. That's part of the blessing. You're protected. You are protected. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Think about, you know, somebody pursuing you and you running into a castle, pulling up the drawbridge, lowering the portcullis, you're protected. Right? That's the refuge. God is a refuge that no cannon, no cruise missile, no atomic bomb can break through. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. In him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. What is his truth? His truth is, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. His truth is, I'm anointed. His truth is, I'm above only and not beneath. I'm blessed in the country and in the city. I'm blessed going in and going out. That's the truth. Let's stand in that truth. Let's confess that truth over ourselves. You shall not be afraid, period, of COVID, of war, of cancer, right? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. It shall not come near you. You know, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland talk on this once, and he talked about an officer in the army that had been posted in Afghanistan. And when he was there, the troops under him had a casualty rate of almost zero. And they were in serious fights. He went over Psalm 91 with his guys every single day. But when he rotated back to the States, the next commander wasn't doing that. Casualty rates started climbing, started going up, and it made a difference. Guys were forgetting to confess this over themselves, and they started dying. They called him up. They said, "What? How do we fix this? What's going on?" He went back there. He got those guys back into confessing that, and casualty rates dropped. No weapon formed against you will prosper. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it is not going to come near you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. Because you believe that Jesus has seated you with him in heavenly places. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. No COVID. No winter flu. You don't need flu shots. Here's your flu shot right here. No plague will come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. God's saying that of you. You are blessed. You are protected. You are made prosperous. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. The blood of Jesus has paid for you to be seated with him. The blood of Jesus has given you the blessing. This is such, it covers every area of your life. Psalm 91. You know, when our kids were small, we used to say this with them every day, and then when they got older, we kind of got out of it. But man, this is absolutely amazing. Such a perfect description of the blessing. This is the blessing. This is what Jesus paid for. This is what he gave to you. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I will be with him in trouble. There was a poem that got turned into a song back in, I think it was the 70s. And it talked about a guy just crying out to God. He was having so much trouble, and he could see in a vision the footprints on the sand. And there were two sets of footprints. And then there was only one set of footprints. And then there was two sets. And he said, God, why did you leave me when the trouble was the worst? And he said, no, I didn't leave you. That's when I carried you. God's got your back. God loves you. He delights in your prosperity. He delights to have a personal relationship with you. That is the key right there. He wants a personal relationship with you. Not a Sunday morning, how you doing? He wants a daily, man, I am so happy to see you. He is waiting for you to wait. He is waiting for your eyes to open in the morning.
Yes, sir.
He's got an 8x10 picture of you on his mantle. He loves to see you. God delights in you. He loves it when you talk to him. He loves it when you come to him. He loves to hear his word coming out of your mouth.
Praise God.
Man, there's so much. It's to us because of what Jesus did, but let's look at a couple people who interacted with Jesus. Matthew 15:22-28. Sometimes this is called the Sidonian women, I think. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. So if she was from Canaan, she was not from Israel. She was not an Israelite. She did not have rights to the covenant, to the blessing. She had no right to it. And a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he ignored her. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. So what's the picture that's being drawn here? She's following him along, going, Jesus, save me. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Jesus, do something for me. He's ignoring her. And the disciples are like, God, Lord, would you get rid of her? You know, I'm tired of hearing her yelling after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So did she turn and walk away? No. Oh, no. Oh, no. What does that say about what she believed? She believed that Jesus was the anointed one. She believed that Jesus could fix her, could fix her daughter. She wasn't going to give up. She was going to keep pressing in. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, there's such an important thing here. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wait, just go back. It is not good to take the children's bread. What was she talking about? What was she demanding of him? Healing. Jesus is calling healing the children's bread, your daily food. You are blessed to be healthy. Oh, and I love this. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And what did she say? Arf, arf.
That's right.
Call me a dog if you will. I don't care. Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You're not a little dog under the table. Pull up the chair and eat. Eat the healing. Eat the prosperity. Eat of the blessing that is set in front of you. You are not a dog. What would you think if one of your kids crawled underneath the table at dinner time?
They do that. No.
And you would get up here and eat. Mama made this meal. Get up here and eat it. Yeah. Oh, I want to be humble. I just want the crumbs. No, that's not humility. That's false humility. Uh-huh. Humility is, I'm going to obey what Mama said. I'm going to sit up here and I'm going to eat this good food. And I know some of the kids don't think it's good food. I've had a few picky eaters. Sherry goes, you do. She knows my kids so well. You know what? If I put Portillo's on the table, they'd all come running.
Amen.
God didn't reserve the crumbs for us. The blood of Jesus paid for us to sit up to that table and partake of the feast. She said, even the crumbs eat from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, a woman, great is your faith.
Amen. Yes.
What is great faith? It's believing what God's word. It's believing the blessing is yours no matter what you see with your eyes. She's like, Jesus, you can do this for me. I know it. And he said, great is your faith. Let it be to you as your desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The blessing is yours. You got to go get it. You got to chase after it. Chase it down. It's going to overtake you. But in your heart, in your faith, you've got to believe for it. You've got to chase down and conquer the unbelief that is, this world is baptized in unbelief. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. Here's somebody else that Jesus described as having great faith. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. I think this guy's name was Cornelius. And Peter came to his house in Acts. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. Why? Because of the work that he did? And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Speak the word. He believed that when Jesus would speak the word, his servant would be healed. He believed it so much so that he said, Lord, just say the word. You don't have to come here. I don't need to see a vision of Jesus to know that I'm healed. I got, you know, and I shake this because this is where I read my Bible. I got this word. It's in my mouth. It's in my heart. I'm going to speak it out of my mouth. I don't need to see a vision of Jesus. I know I'm healed. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what pain's in my body. Yep. I'm healed.
Amen.
And I'm not going to, shut up, devil.
Right. Amen.
I've told y'all before, sometimes my knee starts bothering me. I go find a stairs to climb. Mm-hmm. Tell it, shut up, devil. Knee, you quit hurting me. You're healed.
That's right.
None of this.
Yep. Yes. Amen.
Now, this verse 8. Wow. Learn your authority. Learn your authority. For I also am a man placed under authority. What's he saying here? He's saying sickness is under your authority, Jesus. You just speak the word. Sickness is under your authority. I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. You have the authority to tell sickness to go,
Amen.
And it will go.
That's right. That's
you
right.
have the authority to tell finances to come, and they will come.
Yes.
You've got to believe it before you see it. And then you'll start seeing it. When Jesus heard this, look at this. He marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Great, he called that great faith. Recognizing the authority of the Word of God is great faith. And those who were with him, those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant who had been sick well. God wants you well.
Amen.
He wants you to believe him more than you believe what you see, what you feel, what you hear.
Right.
Hear the word of God. That's going to make a change. So why don't we all walk in the blessing? Why aren't we all healthy? Why aren't we all prosperous? Because you know what? We're the only ones who can stop the blessing in our life. We stop it. What are the words we're speaking? Let's look at Numbers 24, verse 25. Now, this is the end of the story of Balaam and Balak. So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. After three times, Balaam's not going to curse the Israelites. He's going to bless them. Balak's like, fine, get out of here. I don't want to see you. And they parted company. But it says in Revelation that Balaam loved the rewards of divination. So the very next verse actually happens to be chapter 25, verse 1. So they parted company, but look at this. Now Israel remained in the acacia grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to their sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And it caused a plague among the congregation of Israel. Okay? What happened here? Why is this there? Go to Revelation. Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14. He says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idol, and to commit sexual immorality. So what's he saying here? Now, if we go back to chapter 25, verse 1 and 2, what happened? Balak sent the women, the hot babes, out there to seduce the men of Israel and to get them to eat meat that was sacrificed to idol and to bow down before their gods. They stopped the blessing. Balaam told Balak, look, I can't curse these people. God won't let me curse them. You cannot defeat these people. You've got to get them to defeat themselves. And this is how you do it. You get them to break their covenant with God.
Wow.
That's how you do it. So let's jump ahead to Numbers 31 and verse 16. Now, they're letting some of these Moabites live. God said, go kill them all.
Right.
Women and children, everybody. Oxen, cattle, sheep, everything. Wipe them out.
Yep.
Nothing left alive. And when Moses comes along, he hears the bleating of sheep, the lowing of oxen, and he's seeing some women that are the Moabite women. And he's like, why did you let these live? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. He's saying right here exactly what was said in Revelation 2:14. Balaam taught Balak how to put a stumbling block in front of Israel, how to get them to stop the blessing. You have the authority to stop the blessing in your life. God's not going to force it on you. You have the authority to stop it. You have the authority to activate it. Go to Psalms 78:41. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You can limit God. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force the blessing on you. He's holding it out to you. It's theirs. It's there for the taking. Jesus paid for it. Take it. Don't limit God. This verse says you can limit God by not believing him. Jesus already paid the price. They had to fulfill. They had to make sure they obeyed the law. Jesus obeyed the law for us. He became a curse for us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right?
Yep. Amen.
James 3:10. Here's our biggest problem. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. What is coming out of your mouth? Are you cursing yourself? I know if I wash my car, it'll rain. You're cursing yourself. You're saying you won't be successful. I can't do that. I fail every time I try. I'm the worst batter. I can't hit anybody's pitching. I'm the worst pitcher. I got a 10.2 ERA. You know, you're cursing yourself. Don't say what you see. Say what you expect to see.
Amen.
You're going to bless yourself or you're going to curse yourself. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. This is all of us. This is every single one of us. We don't watch the words that we speak and we start cursing ourselves because we get depressed, because we don't like the way the situation's going. And so we talk ourselves down. We curse ourselves. Brethren, this ought not to be so. We need to get a hold of our words. Man, so many times I'll start to say something and I think, shut up. Don't talk right now. Get your mindset on the word. Then speak. Sometimes Beth says to me, honey, you know, she'll catch me. Start complaining about work or something like that. I just need to close my mouth. Open my eyes to God's word and start speaking God's word out of my mouth. That is the blessing. That is the word spoken over us. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Man, the word of God. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Produce, stuff that grows from seed, fruit of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
A seed planted becomes a tree that grows up and produces fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The seed, the words of your mouth are seeds, and they're going to produce something. Are they going to produce positive results? Are they going to produce negative results? What are the words? Blessing and cursing can't come out of the same mouth.
Right.
That we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be sowing ragweed and tomatoes. Okay? Right? We shouldn't be sowing dandelions and grapes. It's so important what you say with your mouth. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What do you love? Do you love death or do you love life? What are you going to speak? You're going to eat its fruit. Whatever you love, that's what you're going to eat the fruit of, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So if out of the abundance of the heart, if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and what's coming out of your mouth is death, change what's in your heart. Put God's word in there.
Amen.
And start speaking that out of your mouth.
Amen.
This can change your life if you'll let it. The word of God can be in Romans 10, 6 through 8. We're going to close with this. I talked about this earlier this month, and I'm going to end right here on this again. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach. The word of God needs to be in your mouth and in your heart, and it needs to spill out.
Amen.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That word of God needs to be in your heart. And out of the abundance of the word of God in your heart, your mouth is going to speak.
Amen. That's good.
No, it's flu season. I'm going to get sick again. No. No plague will come near my dwelling.
Amen.
Which is it going to be? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. The word of faith is what needs to come out of you. That is what is going to activate the blessing in your life.
Amen. Good.
I don't want Abraham's rotten tents and long dead cattle. I want the blessing of God spoken over me. That everything I put my hand to will prosper.
Yeah.
That I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I am blessed coming in. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed when I'm awake. I'm blessed when I'm asleep. There's no time when I am not blessed. I don't care how bad things in my life get. I am blessed.
Amen.
And I've had the bad. I have lived through the bad. Some of these people here can tell you, I went through a period of 10 years where I was unemployed for, I think, almost 4 full years, 3 different times of unemployment over a year each time. Got to the point where we had nothing, no thing. Couldn't pay my rent the next month. We were so desperate. But I wasn't speaking the word of God out of my mouth. I was complaining. There's a difference between the blessing and a miracle. I needed a miracle, and I got one.
Amen.
I said, you know, I remember saying, honey, we're going to have to go move in with your mom. And I clearly heard the voice of God on the inside of me, you're not going anywhere. And I got mad, and I yelled at God, and I said, you better provide the rent, because I don't have the money for it. We had no savings left. We had burned through all of that. All the money that we got when we sold our house was gone. Now I own a house.
Amen.
Praise God. He's blessed me. I am blessed. I had to learn it the hard way.
Yeah.
Learn it from the word of God. It's a lot easier. It takes a lot less time. But finally got a job. Came through the week after that. And first paycheck came in just in time to pay the rent. And it was enough to cover the whole thing. And I've gone from there up, 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 up. God has blessed me. I am blessed.
Amen, amen.
I will be blessed. It's not going to change. The only thing that can stop it is the words of my mouth. The only thing that can activate it are the words of my mouth. Use the words of your mouth to activate the blessing of God in your life. Don't speak your doubt. Tell doubt, get the doubt out. Shout it out. Shout the word of God and shout out the doubt. Amen. Sorry, I know I've gone really long this morning. I had extra time Phil gave me, and I took almost all of it up. You know, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that fulfilled the law, paid for our sin, paid for our sickness, paid for our poverty, that we might walk in the blessing of God if we confess it with our mouth and believe it in our heart. Thank you for it this morning, Lord. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for seating us with Jesus in heavenly places. Thank you for the power, the anointing, and the victory that we have in our lives if we'll use it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning, come on up. We'll pray with you over anything you need. Go be blessed. I think there's some good food there in the cafe.